Good evening, everybody.
Excuse me.
God, no problem. Michelle, can you lead us in the pledge? Let the record show that all the directors are present. And can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll put a motion out to approve the agenda as is.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor of approving the agenda, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The agenda approval carries. And public comments. Start with that. There you go.
He puts the ladder still on. Left. Okay. Anyway. Thank you so much for that.
No problem.
Anyway, good thing I know what I'm saying. My concerns.
Can you state your
name? Yes. Liz Wolfbada, right there. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I think what I want to bring to the board is my concern and maybe other people's concerns as to what the philosophy is long term for the CSD. And I understand there's constrictions, we have money comes in, money goes out, and set expenses and so on, but what I'm wondering about is, I remember at one point somebody said, well, the skate park wouldn't be here if the CSD had been in position when the skate park was approved. And we look at things like the Village Trail, we look at other situations, and I guess I get the feeling from the board that whatever's here, in fact, I think Wes, you said that, it wasn't here when we started, so we don't want to look at it. And I guess I would like to not see the attitude be that whatever's here is what we're taking care of and we're not looking into something else. Because when I voted for the CSD, I thought that, you know, one, the money would be set locally, it would come back to us, we'd have more local control. But I also saw it as an expansion of abilities for parks and rec to grow, for more opportunities for things to be happening in the community. And I do see some of that, you know, like the softball league is awesome and that's something that's come about. But I guess I just would like to see whether there's an expansionist view of what can be accomplished long term, as opposed to just we have to just, you know, kind of barely keep going and keep what's going alive because we're always in danger of not making it or something. So that's my proposal to the board to think about that, talk about that, and get input from the community.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments?
Randy. Okay, my public comment has to do with variance.
I'm sorry, can
process,
you?
Process, Randy Orbach, Redwood Property Owners.
Thank you.
And I think we have a mechanical issue because we requested, mentioned last meeting, we were going to have a request of variance for the ice cream social. And we submitted the paperwork to put it on. But on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the morning, we got the original agenda materials. And there was nothing on there. So I wrote back at L at 2 a.m., so an hour after we got it, and said, oh, you know, we submitted the paperwork and all that stuff then. And then the mechanical issue is apparently we're within the 72-hour period, so we can't talk about it at this meeting. So I'm requesting if we're going to do draft agendas, we probably should do them so that there's a mistake, you can fix it. So we're kind of out of luck this meeting, and what we'll do at the next meeting, we'll talk to our board for our property owner board for eight people next board meeting to see if we're just going to have to do it ourselves. So.
Okay.
So the definition of the problem is how do you fix the problem with the agenda if it comes out so close to the 72-hour deadline, there's no reason, there's no way to fix it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Can I make
what's the proper time to ask our attorney a question about that? Is that now?
We can ask that now, yeah.
I actually had a similar question because I noticed after the 72-hour deadline that they had even suggested that we co-sponsor the event and we didn't have that on the agenda. So what is the process for that?
So, for a regular meeting, the agenda needs to be posted 72 hours in advance under the Brown Act. The agenda can be, additional items can be added onto the agenda after that 72-hour period if there is a need for immediate action and that need arose after the agenda was posted. The proper way to do that, though, is not for staff to unilaterally make that decision. That is something then that comes to the board, and that's why we have agenda approval on here, is if there is a need to add something onto the agenda, then that's the time to do it.
Well, we could have done that tonight.
Of course. But the board would have by a two-thirds vote, so on a five-member board would require four-fifths. By four-fifths vote, that the board makes the determination that there's a need for immediate action and the need arose after the agenda was posted.
But in this case, it didn't arise after, right? It arose at the last board meeting?
Well, it came up at the last board meeting. It sounds like there was materials that were submitted then following the board meeting, but before the agenda was posted. So I guess that would be for the board to decide whether or not that's sufficient to meet the criteria under the Brown Act.
Al, would that have been different? Because I was under the impression that what Randy had talked about, that the property owners talked about, is doing a partnership versus a variance. Would that make a difference one way or another as far as how it got on the agenda?
Well, one thing, I'll get close to the microphone.
Thank you.
And I want to explain a little bit of something because I think that needs to be taken care of. And if nothing else, I would to Randy. Paperwork with an application, including the variance, was submitted on the 20th to Michelle. Michelle did give me a copy of it up there in my part of the little counter over there. Somehow I got it shuffled somewhere else. And when I put the agenda together, that didn't get in there. And then Randy asked me, like, what he mentioned. And I was always under the impression, and perhaps I'm wrong, that we can't add anything to the agenda unless it's something that's really an emergency type thing. That's the way I understood it. But if it's something that they could do now, I do have the paperwork sitting right on the counter over there. I could bring it out if you guys would like to address that. And to answer your question, there is a difference, but they both probably have, depending on what it is, and depending on what latitude you guys allow me to have, it would depend on how it goes to the board.
Okay. Well, I mean, I really would prefer not to look at the material right now and just extend the meeting and try to figure out the whole variance issue for this particular issue right now.
I think
so.
Things that the board needs to consider on that. One is whether or not that would qualify as the need arising after the agenda was posted. And secondly, and perhaps more importantly, is the point of the agenda is not only to provide the board information, but also to notify the public what is going to be discussed at the meeting.
Right.
There may be members of the public who might want to have input on that issue, and they would not know that item was going to be placed on the agenda. And so their ability to comment and participate in the process
Yeah.
With the adverse effect.
Steve, would it be better in the future then to have the agenda approval after public comments?
No, I think it should be, it just, you know, this is just an administrative snafu. It just needs to be fixed on the administrative side.
So I agree that the need has not arisen afterwards. However, the event is in October, and it is, what's the
is
date?
Is there a time between
what's
the next?
What's the date for the event?
Our event is October 7th. It's going to run to the public from 1 to 3. We need an hour before and an hour to clean up. And I think a total of that's about $110 that we're asking for sponsorship.
My point would be that because the event is October 7th, us putting this off until the next meeting,
which is October 2nd,
doesn't allow them to know how they're going to budget, et cetera. So I could argue that
although Steve is right in that it's, you know, we have not really put this out to the public. Nobody's digested it. It's not really fair. I mean, this doesn't rise to that level of concern to where it's some emergency or something. I agree it's an administrative shame, but
right, because they brought it up at the last meeting with mm-hmm. plenty of time for us to discuss it.
So, yeah.
So 2 points then. We're going to press tomorrow. For our September newsletter advertising that first week, and then of course we won't have our board meeting in October until after the event anyhow. So this is pretty much a done deal for us. It's $110 we'll pay up, unless you guys want to consider a waiver to waive that, but we're not going to be able to do the publicity saying that it's a joint.
Yeah, I think we just missed the window. Yeah.
Well, there's another option, and that is called a special meeting. The board can do that and can discuss that, and that requires 24-hour notice. Now, on a special meeting, you cannot add any items onto the agenda of a special meeting. You are stuck with what that agenda says, but that is one option that the board has. It's called a special meeting.
Okay.
I'd like to stay with us tonight.
I'm with Michelle on that.
I feel like this is something, a mistake on our part. Mistake, absolutely. We all, you know, it all, we've been very busy. but I'd like to see us correct it tonight, and because they didn't just bring it to us tonight in public comment, they brought it to us last month. And I feel like we are responsible to have that on the agenda tonight. I didn't know there was any contingency that allowed it, or I would have brought it up during the approval of the agenda.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we can go back to the approval of the agenda item, and the board the board president can entertain a motion and a second on that. Again, request four-fifths vote. And that would be to add it on to the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you read the motion.
Yeah, I don't think I would vote in favor of it because I don't think there's enough time given to the public or me to look at it.
Leo, are you where do you fall?
I say no too.
Okay.
Two-thirds.
Well, then I'm gonna skip that process if we know we're not gonna have a four-fifths.
Okay. Okay. All right. Any other public comments?
Yeah, you're a horse.
Thank you. Can I have some agency reports, please?
You right here where I need it.
Perfect.
Good evening. I'm Sergeant Robert McCurry with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department, and I'm out of the Thielen Station. Here in the community of Wrightwood last month, we had 134 calls for service. And there were a total of 7 reports taken. Your high call volumes were for warrant services at 27, burglar alarms at 11, follow-ups at 8, and where we assisted other departments at 7. In the community of West Cajon Valley, there were a total of 31 calls for service, with 5 reports taken, and your high call volumes were welfare checks at 5, incidents at 4, and burglar alarms at 3.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions?
Okay. 27 warrants?
warrant services.
Wow.
What does that mean exactly?
A warrant service?
Yeah.
If you have a warrant for your arrest, the deputy goes to your house to see if you're there, and they can either take you into custody or issue you a citation and give you an equal date.
So does that amount of those mean that it's that many separate people, or were those repeated attempts to locate a few people?
Yes, repeated attempts.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any other agencies here tonight? Don't see any. Okay, next is the special donation to the Fire Safe Council. So we had an agreement we worked out with the Fire Safe Council to pay them for the green waste at a that saves the CSD money, but therefore saving us a bunch of money and encourages more people to bring in their green waste. And so we have a check here tonight for John Aziz.
No, for the Fire Safe Council.
For the Fire Safe Council. That's not you personally, but...
For how much?
It's for $2,425.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next week's another Pine Needle event, right?
This weekend?
Saturday or Friday and Saturday.
Okay. All right. Well, we hope there's a big turnout for that, and you'll get more money for that.
And it's Pine Needles and Pine Cones only this time.
Okay.
No
right.
No rocks.
Got it. Okay. And then we have on the consent calendar, we have the minutes and the financials. But, you know, Al, we always have questions on the financials. I would really like to see it sort of just broken out as its own item and not on the consent calendar. Okay? We always end up with questions about that. So tonight, I'd like to break it out.
Can I make a motion that we remove...
The August financials.
The August financials from the consent calendar and go ahead and approve the minutes?
Yes.
So moved.
All right.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of breaking out the August financials from the consent calendar, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. The motion carries.
Did we approve the minutes on that?
That was my motion.
That was part of the motion.
Okay. So. Yeah. All right. And so the next item would be the August financials.
I had a question on the disbursements and deposits about room number 4, West Coast, or how do you pronounce that?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That's our rep.
Say it again?
That's the company that's running our website.
Website, okay.
How much of that has already been paid out? Because we approved, I think, $5,000.
There's one payment left.
Okay.
And what did C4 do for us this month?
There was ADA.
Can you speak into the mic, Al? Sorry.
There was ADA replacement of the bathroom fixtures because several of them were leaking. Being in the back to get that taken care of, and then the house in the really in all the restrooms, the outside restrooms, I had some plumbing issues to deal with the plugs.
And I think on those fixtures in there, the current ones just couldn't be repaired. They were too old, and Eli was having the hardest time finding a part. Right. So they just flat out need to be replaced.
Right.
Okay. About $300 a piece or something. Yeah. Yeah.
There's four of them, right?
Yeah.
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 On the income, on the rentals, we have one, two, three rentals. Who were they and where were they? Is that for the community building? And who? Michelle tells me one of them is hers.
The first one's a co-op. I could
break that down. I could not break that down.
Oh, you can't break it down?
Right now, at this
oh, point. Oh, I can break it down.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Do you know, do you recall if they were like single checks and organizations?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Can you get that detail and email that to the board and everybody on the mailing list?
Sure.
Can you do that? Okay. Okay.
Another thing I have on Cecilia's stuff, under facility maintenance, we have job supplies. I'm on page 13. Job supplies, $5,337.48 as an actual expense. Does that include what? If you have a idea, since we budgeted only $640, it popped out at me. So.
Now that can't give you the exact things because it's a combination of the stuff in July and August.
Can't hear.
Okay. Shouldn't have a mic. Hang on 1 second. I know it's 2 months, so.
Yes, but I will get you the detail on that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't remember it offhand.
Well, I'm more concerned about our budgeting aspect. Did we really screw up on that? If the budget is $640 and it comes out to $5,300, you know, is that something we have to go back and take a look at? That's all. The other one was, and that plays into the total repairs and maintenance of being over budget of $5,000. So that we need to make sure we're okay on that on the budget. The utilities under electric for the community center, we budgeted $520. It shows up at $1,283. Is that because we're in the summer and the AC is going like crazy all the time now? And it hopefully it'll go down.
What do you mean? It was budgeted to $520 per month on average, or
well,
yes,
no,
it's on average.
Okay. So the budget line, that column is something that is averaged out over 12 months.
Over 12, yeah.
Okay. Do it for a month based on the prior month.
Got it.
Right, but
or for last year, you mean? Yeah. Like you didn't do it based on last year's numbers and carry it. Right,
right,
right. Okay.
So, and then the other thing was the totals as far as total expenses. We had budgeted, again, $52,000, and we came in at $68,000. This is for 2 months. But that's $16,000 over, you know, our budget.
We had a $10,000 payment toward the election cost.
I understand.
I didn't see if that was in the budget.
No, that election cost is something that was approved
right.
last year.
Right.
So that's not going to show up on our P&L. It shows up on your balance sheet. You'll see it's a liability for that.
Okay.
Okay.
Al, let me ask you something. Can you, is it possible to get the SCE bill for last month? And on that SCE bill will be the stuff from last year. How do we compare to last year? They always have that on there.
Sometimes you do, but I've
never seen it without it. Because they want you to lower it. Or they just want you to see it. So if you could you scan that and also send that to the board and to the mailing list. Could you do that?
Sure.
That SCE bill. Okay? Because I think that's going to be on there, and we could all look at it and see how it compares to last year, which is what we base the budget item on. So if it's similar, we could say, okay, you know, right. It feels okay. All right?
No problem.
Okay.
Yeah, the only thing that concerned me, Wes, was the total expenses.
Yeah.
We're showing after 2 months, $16,000 over, so it's really $8,000 a month that we're going over budget. And is that something that we need to address as far as our budget for 18-19, or did we really miss the boat? I understand the revenue because that won't come until November, December, January time period.
You're just talking about the expense itself?
Just the expense portion.
Well, one is the facilities. The other thing is, too, your insurance is coming in. It was, although it was paid at the end of May, it was set up as a prepaid. I pulled it in for this year, and it's, it has been reported there. That's the $7,100.
Yeah, we did put that off last year. We got, remember?
Right,
So that's in last month? The insurance payment?
Yes.
Well, that'll make the expense.
Right, but we're still over $8,000 is all I've got.
Yeah.
It's just something I want to look at.
Yeah.
Because that's our budget.
Okay.
You know,
we also talked in the last meeting with Cecilia on something that we as the board could review it in January to make the appropriate adjustments so we can start the...
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We could look at that.
Well, let's get a couple of things sent to us that we're talking about, and we'll see if that... See if that makes sense.
I had a question about the employee hours. I know last month we were over and we talked about sometimes, you know, the calendar has more days, that kind of thing. But then it's the same this month, so it seems like there's more hours needed. Is that accurate or is this still a calendar?
Mike?
I guess the question is, are we constantly going to be over and is our budget item not accurate?
The answer is I don't know exactly, but... I would suspect it's going to be going down. I know my hours have gone down quite a bit, and I'm anticipating with Jessica being on the board now. She has a lot of office skills as well. Michelle and I and Jessica have been working out a way that she can do some of that work, because that's where a lot of it comes. And then we can start getting ahead. You know, when we know that, say, the dump cars are coming up, well, we can start working on that much further ahead, you know, and we can help keep the hours down during that period of time, you know.
Do you think you tend to have more hours in the summer than the winter? Because of the upkeep of parks? And
definitely, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, can I have a motion to accept the financials then, if they are, please? Or do you want to make some changes?
No, I wanted someone else to make the motion.
Okay.
So moved.
I'll make a motion to accept the financials.
There we go.
I'll second that.
There you go. All those in favor of the accepting the August financials, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Motion carries. All right, item 7, general manager report.
Well, I was in a mood to write this month, and I think I put everything down that I put down. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I think it would be great if in the future, I know that she couldn't make it tonight, but is it Jessica?
Jessica?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. I'd love to meet her. You know, I think it'd be great for the community to know who the other full-time employee is.
I agree.
That's all. I know you tried to get her
part-time
here tonight, but she was, part-time. But she was busy, so. Be nice to meet her is all.
Well, I'm sure that'll happen for Lisa.
She's very kind.
I just wanted to see a face.
And so how's the website coming now?
If everything goes the way I expect it to, we should have it up and running by the end of the week.
Okay. Have you been in contact with Scott and
yes.
Going
yes,
over it?
We're
okay.
In contact with Scott.
Okay.
We're able, because Jessica has this type of a skill.
Yeah.
She's 25, so I think everybody's 25. But so she's been very, very helpful, and we're pretty good for you.
Let me ask another question about this. And earlier when I had stepped in, I said, hey, you know, we need to, all these PDFs that are scanned need to be OCR, so we can find them, so Google can find them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for the website, I think it's really important that they when they're scanned, they're OCR, so the text is readable. Did that get done?
I don't know.
don't know, because you didn't ask.
That really has to be done. Otherwise, it's invisible to Google. They're just pictures.
OCR.
Optical character recognition. It just means that a PDF becomes a searchable document. So everything we put up there, Google can find it, the website works properly, and so if people search for stuff, it can find it, right? So you're just searching for whatever documents we have. And if you're scanning them, then it just automatically does that, okay? So you need to get that view scan software that that I recommended.
Okay.
Is the site, that how you get to it, is just wrightwoodcsd.org? Is that what gets us to the...
But it's not up there yet. We don't have it up there yet.
No, I understand that, but when it's up and running, that's how we would get to it? Okay.
I think that's something that Scott does.
Yeah, once the site is done, then it just gets cut over to that domain. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And look, I can help you with that scan, okay? I can help you with that stuff. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, item 8, variance policy review, discussion and possible action.
When we get the variance, will we also have the application with it? How?
Yep, it all comes here.
You have a public comment? Okay.
But before I get to that, I just had a question. We were talking about the 72-hour issue with the agenda. Is there any reason the agenda can't be published 5 days before?
No, there's no reason why it can't be, right.
And it's finalized within that 72 hours, so there's no changes and people know what's happening.
Right. There's no. You're right. There's no reason.
It could be done earlier.
Absolutely.
Mistakes could be corrected.
Sure.
Yeah. My comment on the variance when I was reading it was I was questioning why it seemed like it talked about it had to be a community benefit, but it said it had to be a benefit to the CSD and it also should be a benefit to the community.
Right.
I'm not sure why there's a differentiation. My understanding is that being a benefit to the community is a benefit to, or that the CSD exists to take care of the community. So I'm a little confused why we need also in there between the CSD and the community, why we have the CSD. And then I also had a note that although the hardship will always be a factor that can be considered, I'm wondering if it should always be a requirement. For instance, like what if Mountain High had some big event and they had tons and tons of food left over and they said, hey, we'll come give it away for free as a community building. Now, obviously, Mountain High can afford to pay the fees to do that, but if they're giving away food free to the community, should they be required to? I mean, should there be a way that a variance can come about without it having to be a hardship if it's a different type of situation? And then my third point was that it was a little confusing to me where there was a discussion about whether one way the payment or the hardship or the variance could go would be if the CSD entered into some sort of an agreement with the organization where they would split the risks and the profits, because that just seems like a really odd thing for me for a government organization to go into business in that sense with a nonprofit organization wanting to utilize the facility.
All right, thank you.
I believe I mentioned this before, but if not...
Hi, John. Can you... Pardon? I'm sorry.
Oh,
can you...
This is John Lemieux.
Yeah.
But I think the board should have a vision statement. And maybe in that vision statement, it would clarify briefly what variances could be established and how to establish them. And also, along with your mission statement, that would also clarify the board's standing. So that's something you might want to think about as your mission and vision statement that would make these type of revisions a lot easier. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Okay. Al, can you remind me if on the application form there's a place on there that talks about the amount of people within an event involved, correct? So we would know when looking at the variance.
So, yeah.
Yes. So it doesn't need to be on the variance form because it's on the application, which would be a fact.
Right.
Okay.
If you want on the variance form, you can have on the variance form.
Right. Well, you gave it from here.
Yeah. Steve, can I ask you something?
Sure.
Can you describe what a gift of public funds is?
Yes.
Okay. Gift of public funds is prohibited under the California Constitution. So it's a constitutional prohibition. And it prohibits a governmental agency from using public funds to benefit a private interest. And so if there is a gift by a governmental agency to private individual or private concern, then that would be unconstitutional.
Would a private concern be a nonprofit? How is that defined?
It could be a nonprofit.
Yeah.
If the question is whether or not the board makes the determination that there is a benefit that is conferred by virtue of the gift, and if that benefit is related to what the services that the district provides. Just in general, a community-wide benefit could be problematic under the law if that benefit is unrelated to the kind of services that the district provides.
I see. So that's part of the test right there.
That part of the test is, for instance, if a water district were to give public monies for a park and rec purpose.
Yeah.
Now, what is the benefit? There is certainly a community-wide benefit, but that benefit is not related to the services that water district provides.
Yeah.
And so that would be problematic under the law.
So that answers one of the questions that Liz had that I was curious about, you know, in her Mountain High example. That would be, you know, that would be a gift of public funds, I would say, because it's not what the business of CSD is in.
Right, and because, I think there's you're considered a community services district, that's what you are under the law, but that doesn't mean that the board or the district has any powers with respect to everything involved in the community.
Right, right.
RAFCO has identified those narrow, areas. That
it's not all-encompassing.
Right.
For every single thing that goes on in the community.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
So I wanted to clarify a couple things, actually, that Liz actually addressed that I was also curious about. So we have the variance policy review paper. Am I correct in understanding that this is what, Al, you wrote as explanation of the variance form, but this is not something that's going to be given out to somebody who's going to fill out the variance form?
Well, very, very true. Okay. The item on the agenda is the variance policy review. This paper that you're holding up is my overview of
the policy
of what the board has commented on in the past. Because this whole variance was put together by the board.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I'm giving like a recap of some of the stuff that is applicable.
So I just noticed that a couple of the points that Liz brought up are on this, but they're not present on here. For instance, this says nothing about hardship. This does not make a distinction between community benefit and the CSD. It's all says to the benefit of the Wrightwood Community Services District. So tonight.
But doesn't it have to go to sort of one of the four powers that the district has, right?
Right.
Like we have to say, hey, this is part of Parks and Rec, or this is part of sewer planning, as an example,
then
or
should
whatever.
Should that be something that's on the variance form? Please check the box of the area that your event
yes.
falls under.
I would
suggest that it not necessarily be on be incumbent upon the applicant to make that. I think that that's something that would be part of the staff report on a case-by-case basis when it's brought to the board. And then the board makes that determination, yea or nay, at the time that it votes on the variance.
Oh, I see.
Tonight, are we, I know that we want to make sure this form is in good shape, but are we also trying to actually completely solidify how we're going to vote and why and all the contingencies of, you know, all the
I don't think so.
Kind of alluded to in this?
I don't think so. I think as Steve said, no, we're looking for the board to vote on these things. So the staff.
So that's on a case by case.
That's right. It's by its very nature. It's case by case.
So this is a little more black and white. We're really looking to make sure we have a form that covers all the bases we want covered, such that when they apply for a variance, we have all the information we need. That's what I thought we were discussing tonight. But it says variance policy review.
Right. And I think that's part of the policy. What you have is you have a staff report that's the face sheet for this item that's describing staff's position on that. It does appear over the last several months that sort of the variance, which is an exception to the rule, has almost swallowed up the rule.
Become the rule.
And so given the that sort of phenomenon, that has occurred, and I think the board at the last meeting wanted to review that to see if there was perhaps something that the board can do so that in light of what has occurred over the last several months, whether there's a need to review or change your policy in connection with the variance.
Can you define hardship for us?
Can I define it?
Yeah, that's something for the board, I think, right?
Well, I think hardship would be something that, again, is part of a case-by-case determination as to whether or not the board feels that they're under that set of unique circumstances, whether there would be it would be unfair or inequitable to the applicant to pay the normal rates or fees based upon a set of circumstances that would render it inequitable or unfair. And so the board would make that determination.
Is it correct to say that the hardship then is up to us to determine? Is it in any way tied to the gift of public funds? We created the requirement of hardship, right? That's not something that we're bound by unless we decide to determine that.
I think that's a fair statement. It's the gift of public funds issue is more one of using a prohibition against using public funds to benefit a private concern unrelated to what the district does. The issue of hardship is one where it's not necessarily tied to any sort of public benefit. It's one where the applicant, it would be unfair or inequitable for the applicant to pay the cost. I think hardship is maybe an element of the board's analysis with respect to whether or not to grant a variance, but I wouldn't recommend that the board grant variances based entirely on hardship, because there's not necessarily any public benefit that's conferred by virtue of granting that. And that's what the board has as the steward statutorily under the Community Services District law. That's one of your primary purposes is to act responsibly with respect to district finance. And the board just went kind of almost line by line through the expenditure report and through your profit and loss statement. And I think that's a good example of the board monitoring that. And I think that still applies with respect to decisions on variance. I think hardship certainly can be an element of the board's consideration, but it shouldn't be the sole basis for granting a variance.
Okay.
The only thing I might like to see altered on this form is where it says explanation. Prompt them a little bit more, explanation of benefit to the right with CSD, or just to remind them of what they're explaining.
Okay.
I think I'm done.
So you want to? So you just want a couple of language changes here? Michelle?
I said at the moment nothing else.
Okay.
Something up for me.
Well, the other thing is where it says, you know, needs to provide public benefit to the community. And I've said this at the other meetings. I think every organization here can argue that they do a public benefit to the community. And I don't see how it's almost like, well, let's throw it open and let everybody have it for free. Because there's always public benefit to each one of these groups. Now, is that public benefit for a few people, for a certain group, or is it for the entire tax base which we represent?
Yeah.
And that's, I'm still, you know, fighting on.
I think that's a fair question.
I struggle with that.
And I think that's the crux of why this matter has been brought back to the board.
Yeah, I mean, I really struggle with the test of, well, we can't pay for it. You know, if is that simply it? If you think you have a great organization, you're doing this, but you just don't have the money. That just doesn't seem like enough.
I don't think that alone would be enough.
Yeah.
To support it. I think that's hardship, and I think that's an element. But ultimately,
yeah,
there needs to be a nexus between the decision on the variance.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit that organization is providing,
mm-hmm,
in connection with services that the district provides.
Because we've got, 3,000 constituents here? That were
approximately, yeah.
Well,
that were 2,000. Our voices for
them. Yeah. And do we do variances for 25 people or 100 people? Whatever.
I think that's where we all struggle.
We do represent the rest of them.
Yeah.
And if I could chime in a little bit, bring the mic closer. If you look on the variance form, it doesn't say community; it says community service district. And I've noticed, I've observed that nearly every time that the board considers a variance, it's brought up to what's the benefit to the community.
Right.
And as was explained earlier, which is also the reason why we have that statement on here, is that it has to be either to a service, something that deals with the CSD.
Oh.
It's just mostly going to be Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I mean, that's the catch-all.
Street lights.
So.
That is the catch-all. Yeah.
That's, you know, everything is Parks and Rec.
Everything can be Parks and Rec, yeah.
You know, come on.
But then you come up with an explanation.
Some of them are rather tortured explanations.
Well, something that was brought up earlier by Mr. Noon was, you know, mission statement, vision statement, but also, you know, some definite, as we go through things, we may even have a board definition so that when we're talking about X, Y, Z, that we know what that definition truly is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there on the wall.
I thought that Mr. Argue's comment about mission statement was an excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think Liz's point as far as getting a philosophy in the sense of where do we want to take this down the line. I think those are, you know, beautiful points. And we tried to do that earlier, I think, and we couldn't get everybody to meet on that strategic meeting that we are talking about doing. And that's something that, you know, we have to decide sooner or later of sitting down and addressing that type of stuff.
Well, we can revisit that when we get to the future board meetings and agenda items, right?
Okay, yeah. So, I'm sorry, you have a comment?
Oh.
Terry Hill. One thing that I think of, and I've thought of it several times with the meetings, is it's kind of a matter of vocabulary on between benefit and service. And maybe if you change the wording and see it that way, because everything every group does is a great benefit. Providing a service can be looked at very differently. For instance, the traffic meeting that provides a community service. It doesn't benefit anybody in particular. It's a community service that then benefits everybody. So
yeah.
Service and benefit are two different words, and I think maybe if you look at those closer. Another thing that's kind of a point from coming from a copy editor. This says that the request must directly provide a public benefit. I would love to see these things written properly so that they say what you mean. You want the variance, the service being provided or whatever, you want that to be a service, but this says the request for the rate variance must directly provide a public benefit. And the request is not going to provide anything. So just being more particular with the verbiage, if it's going to be official, I would like to see that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, let me ask you something, Steve. So let's use the winter traffic meeting as an example. I would think that would not be granted as a variance because it is not a benefit to the CSD or any of the powers or anything like that. It isn't. I mean, it is something we got to have. We want that winter traffic meeting. I'm not making a judgment on that. The question is the variance. Should we grant the variance for that? I would say, given the test, I would say no. You know, we like the winter traffic meeting. We love it, but it doesn't go to one of the powers that the CSD has, and it doesn't benefit the CSD on one of those powers.
I don't know. I apologize. I don't know the specifics of that.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any street lighting element.
No, it's just it is something that John Aziz puts together he just put it together by himself, and it's grown into this really great thing where he gets all the public agencies involved, and they got a big table here, and there's, I mean, everyone's here. There's like 80 people here or something,
yeah.
and we talk, you know, up here in Wrightville, we have this big problem with winter traffic when it snows. And so this is a way to get all the agencies to talk to each other. It's a really great thing.
Yeah.
But does it deserve a variance? You know, I don't think it makes it doesn't meet the criteria for the variance.
Yeah. And so the in interpreting some of the case law that comes out of the gift of public funds constitutional provision, I will say this, that the courts have given deference to boards that have made determination one way or another.
So they just made the call, and the courts are like not second guessing that.
Well, like I said, deference. But not that it's not conclusive.
I gotcha. Okay.
And so courts don't typically like to sit in the shoes of a governmental body unless there has been a more of a procedural violation than a substantive. And so I think, generally speaking, the courts have given board's latitude to make that determination. And one way I've seen districts kind of get around that is through more or less like promotion. I have clients that say around Thanksgiving or Christmas, they'll donate turkeys or they'll donate, you know, funds to various charitable organizations. Is that a gift of public funds? Could be, but what they do is, because there is a promotional aspect towards it, then there's a benefit conferred to the district, and that the district has become more visible by virtue.
Okay, that's interesting.
Is there? I'm sorry. Did I cut you off?
No.
I have a question. What do you mean promotional?
So it benefits. If I could just take a stab at it, it benefits the CSD and that it helps promote the CSD. CSD and yes.
Okay.
And so we could maybe torture, you know, ourselves with that and say, well, the winter traffic meeting deserves a variance because they're going to promote the CSD.
Yeah, you have, there's a sign somewhere that
I gotcha.
Right?
Yeah, because I gotcha.
What about the fact that the MAC was dissolved when this was formed and that we have now folded into our meetings like the agency reports and things that don't necessarily relate to street lighting, parks and rec? So it seems like we have things on our agenda every time by nature of the structure of our agenda, basically the agency reports, that don't come back to the four things that we were put in charge of. And I guess to me that's how the traffic safety, those kind of things,
also seem to fall into our purview is that the MAC's gone. We are the only body, and...
But we also have to keep in mind we only have those four powers.
Yeah, I think
right.
that's
all the time.
And yeah. I think where the board has landed on that, and I've seen other agencies land on that, is that during the public comment portion of the agenda, to give a little more latitude as to what can be discussed during public comment beyond just the jurisdictional powers of the district, but to allow public comment, allow that agenda item to be a forum to discuss publicly issues that community may have, may be interested in. Knowing, though, that the board cannot specifically take any action on anything beyond that, which is that LAPCO is granted the district.
So I get it. I get it for the public, and I get it for the four powers, but we also have to make sure we rein in what's applicable to our power.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Like to make a comment. Last winter, obviously, was a very mild winter, but when we had some of the alarms and notices that they go with the possibility of it being a winter traffic day or weekend, it does affect us very directly because that affects the use of the restrooms,
mm-hmm.
affects the use of this building, affects the use of the parking lot, affects the use of all the parks. Do I the walkways?
Well, whether it affects us or not, I don't know what that has to do with the variance.
Well, you mentioned that you didn't see where there was a direct effect.
No. What I meant was is that there is an effect. There is always an effect, but is that a good enough reason for the variance? You know, whatever that effect is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The test is that it has to benefit the CSD. I did not know about the promotional part of it. That's interesting. That's some way to do it.
That would be what co-sponsoring an event.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
like
right.
the traffic
social
could be.
Thing.
Yeah.
Social thing
right.
would have fit if the board
right.
were inclined. There, that certainly would not, in my view, have been an unconstitutional act to make that determination.
Yeah, so I understand that. But I think what the board has to be careful about with these variances is it's just granting everyone a variance of a certain degree or amount based on some emotion that... It's just endless. You know, we could just have every meeting go to variances.
So it seems like then when a variance is brought before us that we lead with the question, is this request within the purview
of the boundaries
of the boundaries of our organization, that is just the first thing that is discussed with every variance.
Yeah.
And
you
if
know,
the answer is no, then...
I think there was a comment made about the first sentence of that form. I agree with that comment. I think maybe I should take a crack at
yeah,
that
please.
Language.
Yes.
Because it does, the gift of public funds is a legal phrase, so
yeah.
perhaps it does need...
That was going to be my suggestion. Yes, can you please take a crack at it?
Do we need... I have a suggestion for edits addressing what Terry said. Do we need a legal eye on this?
Yeah, I think that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying.
We
want Steve to take a look at it.
Yeah.
We want Steve to rewrite it. Yes.
Okay, I guess the part that Terry brought up was about the part that he was talking about.
It's both. It's both.
I think just that first sentence that deals with the legal issue.
Yeah.
I don't know that the rest of the document creates any problem, unless the board were to consider variances at special meeting. It does say a regular public board meeting, and so that may preclude the district from the board from.
Yeah, that should be included just in case.
I don't know why you would want to handle yourself
right
to limit it just to regular meeting.
Right.
Should we say unless otherwise determined by the board?
Well, what I could do is I could modify that first paragraph.
The whole thing. Okay.
Okay.
The one thing that I'm confused about when it says a benefit to the Wrightwood Community Service District versus the community, which we've been talking about, that
yeah.
type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The district is the community. I mean, the district, we're representing
in a limited way, though.
Yeah,
there's limits.
It's not like we're getting anything being the CSD. We are the representatives of the taxpayers.
For those four powers.
Exactly.
That's the point.
It doesn't
exactly.
say the district's
yeah.
board. So it's not talking about us. It's talking
yeah.
about the district.
But the district includes all of Wrightwood, doesn't mm-hmm. it? Within those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
For only those powers, though.
For just for
exactly.
It's
yeah.
different than the community, which is, you know, everything. Right?
I think that goes to Terry's point
yeah.
about
yeah.
services and
yeah.
benefits.
That
just needs
service.
To be clarified.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so there's no action on this.
No
action.
So it's on our agenda for next month?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Steve will take a look at it and get some better language in there.
Yeah, something that I was looking for as well is some guidelines, because we really don't have any guidelines to explain such things as backup materials. You know, what type of backup material maybe you guys would like to see so that can be conveyed to the person or organization that is seeking the variance. We have the term backup material, but what does that entail and what would you like to see?
Well, I feel like the backup material discussion came from us discussing hardship. If we are going to approach variances as we were just discussing, with first, does it fall under the purview of the board, and then looking at, you know, is it of service to the district? To me, it doesn't seem now like those forms are, you know, that came up specifically with the Snowline Players, because that was a discussion of not just benefit or service to the community, but hardship. And
mm-hmm.
so then we were trying to judge it based on hardship, so then we wanted to see numbers, et cetera. But if we are going to approach it from a different perspective,
then
I don't... I don't see those documents being as significant.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take a crack. Let's have Steve take a crack at the language, and let's move on to this Snowline Players one. Okay.
I think we have a public comment.
Oh, you have to come to the mic.
Ron Frank. Vice President of Snowline Players.
Can you, Ron, I'm sorry, just to make sure it goes on
yeah,
the recording.
Ron Frank, Vice President of Snowline Players, as well as running the Farmers Market. It's really confusing. I'm with you. I don't understand how you would choose or how you would look at it. And several questions came up to my mind. One was, you know, who's this as four powers, and how did this county already have all those different variances that they did automatically, and that never came up as a discussion as a problem. You know, it's for our community. There was need. It saw a need. Somebody, you know, convinced somebody there that it had this, and it changed so that those people could actually be here and part of the community. And we had that, you know, for so long. I mean, you know, at the market, we didn't even know we had a special thing. You know, nobody told us or anything like that until all this happened. And that was there for... what was that, like 6-7 years prior? So I don't know what that would be, and I don't know what that would look like myself, but none of those organizations are any different than they are now that are asking for these variances that were given maybe by the county. And so there's something there that was recognized by a government organization that was to acknowledge people, you know, that make a difference in the community in different ways. And then I brought up something about, like, there's a skate park. Well, I've never used it. I'm not going to use that, but I definitely support it for the kids, and your funds are given to us to support that. And we're not giving a gift of public funds if the kids don't come in and pay for use of it. And then we also have a stage here. And we have a building here that has a stage in it. That stage is to be used as a benefit to the community somehow. So I'm just kind of wondering, then also through your looking at this with the four powers, I'm not clear enough on exactly what those four powers are besides electricity or, I don't know.
Streetlights,
yeah. Go ahead.
Solid waste and wastewater engineering and planning.
What is it?
It's parks and recreation, solid waste, wastewater planning and engineering, and streetlights.
Okay, and how does the stage fit in that?
I would say Parks and Recreation.
So Parks and Recreation would have something with performance or something.
Everything that the community wants done is under Parks and Rec.
Everything that.
And if you look at LAFCO's budget, there was no line item for Parks and Rec.
Absolutely.
And the previous agency, which was the county, CSA 56, had a bunch of money. We have a limited supply based on those four powers that we get, a percentage of the tax base?
Right.
You know, type of thing.
Right.
In order to provide services to this community.
Yeah.
Now, we've done...
Plus solid waste. We get some.
Yeah, solid waste. Mm-hmm. And I'll say right up front, Wes handling the solid waste originally has given us the flexibility because he has gone to the follow the rules specific, and it's created more money for the district. If we had done it the same way the county was doing it, which I don't know if it was apathy, I don't know what it was, but we would have been in the hole.
Yeah.
He tightened it up. We've got some extra money there. It's allowed some of the directors to say, okay, put it under Parks and Rec and let's do it. But there's the other three areas, we don't have anything that says, it's under that authority. No, the only authority we have to add stuff is under Parks and Rec. And that's when we get into the quandary of just trying to figure out what really is our authority. And for me, it comes down to my obligation for the rest of the tax base, which is right. Because that's where this money is coming from. So, you know, are there legitimate programs that are great, that have value and that type of stuff? Yeah. Is it worth it doing it for 50 people, 100 people, when we have our base of 3,000? That's the question. And that's what I struggle with.
Yeah, understood.
Okay, thank you. Your...
So then the other thing is I would like to make sure that there was an example of what would be accepted. Because in everything you said, it basically nothing would be accepted that I can see. I mean, even fire safety stuff, unless it provided a benefit by giving money back to us, again, I don't see where it would be a valid place under those four powers.
Yeah, it's something worth thinking about.
We're
still working through it.
So again, you would basically discard all of it.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, let's move on to the Snowline Players variance request. And Al, on this one, am I right that there's no application filled out for this still?
There's a commercial.
Okay. Okay.
Cheryl
Buckle, Snowline Players.
Right. Cheryl sent me an application.
Okay.
And there was an application made out, I think it was back in May, that wasn't completely filled out, but there was one made out there. There was one from, I think it was yesterday or the day before. So you do have that. You have it in your paperwork.
Yes.
I think it was the last item in that.
If I may say something on that. I have filled out the original application.
What page is that?
Just on the bottom.
Oh, okay.
This is for actual application.
Oh, I see. Okay.
If you look at the back of your budget.
Okay.
Well, the issue, the nature, kind of the difficulty of Snowline Players providing one application is that they have different shows throughout the year, so you can't really reflect the full request just based on an application, because the application's put in for each show. So it's kind of the nature of the beast that makes this incomplete.
Correct. And I had originally filled out an application and handed it to Michelle, but when I sent in the new variance form that you guys had requested at the last meeting, Al asked me, do you have an application? It excused me a little bit, and I asked for some guidance on that and didn't receive an email back. So I just went ahead and sent in a new application of the second page.
this one?
No, this is the new one. I think that's the, maybe the variance form that you have.
The new one is the type one?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and so the new one is page two.
So then what I said was, here's an a corrected page two, but we still have everything I filled out before, if you could just add that to it. Because I honestly and truly didn't know what you were looking for or what to put on there. I just put to the best of my knowledge what I know.
So the information we would have gotten off of that is actually, I believe that it's right here on the variance form.
Yeah.
It breaks down,
right.
You know, each highlighted one is a different program or need.
So the children, or the, yeah, the children's program needs are basically 96 hours for 3 months is basically what it breaks down to. Two per week, 4 weeks, 8 months, 3 months, 24 times 4 hours. Yeah.
96 hours. So
hours.
Yeah. Got,
yeah. Yeah.
Hours.
Oh, what
yeah.
did I say?
That's no, you
okay.
said it. I was
okay. So that's okay. And based on what was said at the last meeting, you're asking for a variance of three, and your previous one was $100, so...
Well, actually, my previous one was $200.
Well, if over that percentage, right?
No. I had said 20% or 200, which I was offering double what we would normally pay
right.
of 100 or 10%.
Right.
After you made 1,000, though, right? It was tied to a higher income...
Correct.
I thought
correct.
It was. Anyway,
yeah, it was tied to a profit.
But I mean, that still comes down to okay. At that point, we were looking at $1 or $2 an hour. Now we're talking about free. The one sentence on here on your variance, Cheryl, that bothered me was any use from now on, where it said dates to be considered. Any use from now on, if we have somebody else that's paying full boat,
yeah.
who gets the priority? You know, because if we grant the variance, you're doing it for free. But if we have other people that want to come in and use it at the same time,
okay.
because those times aren't put out until you actually know what the play is.
They would
be subject.
Yeah. The way that it works is they would be subject to her having booking at that time. So they would call Michelle and say,
right.
"Are these dates available? If they're already booked. They're already booked."
I have in the past. Had it where I booked it for rehearsals, and Shannon would call me and say, somebody wants the building on the same day that you have rehearsals, and I would say, that's fine.
Okay.
And we would reschedule our rehearsal based on mm-hmm. them needing the building for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for what you're asking from me, I didn't put that because I didn't know that was something that...
No, our communication has never been that great so far this year. Hopefully next year will be a lot better.
So just so you know, for me, we would book per show. We would call ahead of time. We would say, these are the dates that we would like. Do you have these dates available? Oftentimes we get back, no, we're booked this date. So then we, you know, go back and forth until we get a schedule. After we get the schedule, sometimes we've gotten a call. Well, somebody wants to book the building for these dates or this date.
Right.
Is it okay? And we would switch.
Okay. This one I have for, and you were involved in the meeting, but for Al, where on your thing above the variance portion, where it says, I have directly met with Cheryl and Laura about the current situation and potential future agreements that could mutually benefit the WCSD and the Snowline players while minimizing costs, timeline, facility, infrastructure, and other ideas. I have no clue what that means as far as future, how they're working this out versus this variance.
Well, the board asked us to meet a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And discuss, you know, how can Snowline players and how can the CSD cohabitate on various things and cooperate on various things. And so we did have a reasonably good discussion on that. And, ways of doing that would be like having performances perhaps in the park during summertime, or using more than just the stage, using a little bit bigger area because they need more more space. You know, other ways of adjusting schedule and that type of thing that doesn't burden or overburden either party.
And may I say
sure.
We actually have a Halloween something. We're trying to decide, vacillating between a show or a haunted house again. We've done haunted houses here in the building, and they're great. The community loves them. The problem that I'm thinking might happen this year is that Halloween is on a weeknight. Whenever we've done it on a weekend and the community is out trick-or-treating, we've had great success with it. I'm not sure how it will go on a weeknight.
Yeah.
But we're also contemplating a show on the weekend of the 20th. Everything right now, because of this right now, is on hold. We're also considering a Christmas okay. show here, whether it be a dinner show or just a regular show. Last year we did a dinner show here and it was lovely, but everything's kind of on hold for us until we get a decision here.
Right.
I also have good news. I know we've talked about how we used to do our shows at the TAC for the big summer show, and the last two summers we've had to do them out in Apple Valley because we got priced out of the TAC. Well, I had a meeting with Ryan Holman this week, and he wants to give us the PAC.
Beautiful.
Now,
that's great.
Show.
That's great.
So this is a big deal for us. I would really love to see the same thing here so we can stay up in our community, because now we'll have that to be able to do our summer show. We won't have to drive all the way to Apple Valley for this. If we can still use this for rehearsals, that really would be great to keep us going.
Okay.
But that was really big news for us.
Good.
Wonderful.
Glad to hear that.
That's great.
Can I ask the directors, is this Parks and Rec?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. I believe
this is
so.
Parks
yes.
and Rec. In Larson
really?
City,
100%.
Yeah. I do. The town I grew up in, Parks and Rec ran a summer theater program. They were our entire theater program.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually,
and,
all through the year.
And the last thing I have for Al and Michelle on the, and this is going back to the fees. It's just, I've been asked, I have the correct answer. The kitchen fees, kitchen community building, storage sinks, fridge, $25. The full use is $50. So if I'm using the whole kitchen, it's just strictly $50. It's not $50 plus the
$25.
Okay.
But to clarify, in terms of the fact that the Snow Line Players use the kitchen for these plays, because
right.
it does say that on there, they're not using any of the features of the kitchen. They are using it as a green room. Like, because there's nowhere to put all the actors.
Right.
So the actors hang out, but none of the kitchen equipment is being used unless it's a dinner show.
It's just
right.
being used as just being
the
used
area.
As a
room.
It might be one of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're looking at the money, the
yeah.
cost of it, they're not using the gas and the electricity and
no.
the, all the kind of stuff that goes to the kitchen.
Well,
okay.
One second,
Liz.
A couple of things to consider as well, and I think beginning of the great notes. But also within the variance, do you include the deposits? Do you waive
right.
deposits, or are they responsible for it?
I think
that's
a great question, and I feel like deposits have to be paid because otherwise we're at the mercy of damage and covering those kind of costs, which is not what we're discussing with the variance. We're simply talking about you. So to me, I think every organization has got to put a deposit down to protect our facility.
Can you do that, sure?
Yeah.
You're talking about, like, we put a deposit, then at the end we get the deposit back with everything
right.
we don't maintain.
Yeah.
I would just recommend.
Basically, you pay the deposit.
And we just.
And if we just have it there for
every year,
ever
you
dissolve or
yeah.
something like that, because
right.
you don't want to pay every event
yeah.
and every
right.
event.
Okay.
And how many shows a year have you talked on your.
3 to 4.
Is, well, it's 2 to 3 months or 3 months.
We do 2 to 4 shows annually.
But
the
rehearsal,
yes, 2 to 4. It's generally 4. But
okay.
I'm going to say 2 because there have been years suspect that something is going on where we only end up with maybe like one big adult teen show and one kid show. But for the most part, probably four.
Okay.
Four shows. Separate shows.
But I'm talking about rehearsals. If the rehearsals are 3 months, okay, up
And
these were 2 to 3 months, does that mean 3, 6, 9, 12?
No.
So you've got four?
No.
Or
no.
Is it one or two?
Okay,
or
so the Halloween show. I'm saying possibly a Halloween show. That would be something that's generally put together by me, not here. Everybody rehearses at home. We come together the day of the show. We say, okay, we're going to get here at 1. Everybody runs through it, sings their numbers, and that's it. So there's no rehearsal time ahead of time.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Similarly, if they do a radio show, how many rehearsals do you have for a radio show?
We might rehearse for a month, like once or twice a week for a radio show.
For a radio show versus the MRI.
So really the biggest rehearsal time is going to be the kids show is probably the biggest rehearsal time. The second would be the big summer show, and then sometimes the spring show will have equivalent to the summer show.
Okay. Liz, you have a comment?
I do have a comment. Because I was thinking about this, and I was talking to Josh, my son, who was part of Snow White Players as a kid. That was a very important part of his experience growing up in Wrightwood. And so I really want to share this with you and urge you to consider it as a benefit to the community. One, as he pointed out, kids who are part of Little League and AYSL, there's a lot going on for them. Kids who aren't sports-minded, there's not necessarily much going on in this community that they can get involved in. And Snowline Players is something they can get involved in. They can build community, they can have an outlet for their creativity, and it's something that's really important. And as a teacher, I was thinking, well, what are the academic benefits? And the academic benefits are huge. One, you have kids reading. Two, you have kids memorizing and learning lines.
Yeah.
Three, you have kids learning speech and expression and being able to monitor their voice, monitor their movement, being able to sing for some of these shows. You have kids learning the kinesiology of where is their body in space and relationship to other people. There is just so much going on here that is important academically for children, and they're learning to work with a group. They're learning to take direction, and yet it's not in a school setting, it's an informal setting. And unfortunately, we don't have this offered in the school district except for high school. And even in high school, it's probably one class, and it's only those kids who can clear their schedules to be able to take theater. So I just really feel strongly that this is a huge benefit to the community, for the children who participate, for the youth who participate, for the adults, for the senior citizens who participate. And it's also a benefit for us as a community to have an opportunity to participate in a cultural experience that we might not have. There are a lot of kids who don't get to go to plays down the hill. They don't go to Hollywood, they don't go to the Pantages. But they get to come here and they get to see live entertainment, they get to see a play, they get to understand what it's like to listen to an audience, to wait till the right time to clap, to not talk because it's people, not a movie show. I just think it has a huge amount of benefits for the community.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.
I have one question. What's the percentage of Wrightwood residents that participate in these plays?
I don't have that information.
Like every kid? I don't know.
No, kid or
I mean, it's a lot. It's
under 100.
And it's very.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, it's a lot, and it's varied per production. Per event.
So you're saying 60% of your staff that participates in the plays are from Wrightwood?
Wrightwood, Wayland, and Pinion Hill.
So
let's talk about Wrightwood.
Let me speak.
Go ahead.
Working.
Yes, somehow, by the way. Let me speak to the kids program for last year. We had over 60 kids audition, and this is loose numbers, 70% were Wrightwood. We had two different casts last year, and of the cast, we had like a middle school age cast, of which all but two, maybe three, were from Wrightwood, and then our younger kids cast, almost all of them were Wrightwood Elementary students.
you know, it tends, the kids
for sure.
We love to pull in from the rest of the district, but it's very heavy Wrightwood because it's so convenient.
So the adults, what's the percentage of the adults?
With the adults, it's usually adults, teens, and children mixed. I would say at least 50% are from Wrightwood. At least, but again, it varies on production.
We've done several plays. The last couple I've been in that were directed by Laura Simon, I think, Ron, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they were 100% Wrightwood.
Yeah.
For The Odd Couple and Anne Frank, when everybody.
Yeah.
And then even the
Shakespeare
was.
Yeah, the Shakespeare ones.
Yeah.
Very high percentages.
Okay. Any other questions on that from the board? Okay. Yeah, I'm inclined to approve the variance.
Yeah, I would like to make a motion to approve the variance.
Okay. Go ahead.
Can I make a motion to approve the variance?
Okay, I'm going to second that motion.
All those...
Is there anybody here that's undecided? Do we need any more discussion on it?
No.
Okay. All those in favor of the variance, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Okay, that's 4-1. The motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, item 10, the Wrightwood Village Trail Proposal Adoption in the WCSD Park and Recreation Department Discussion of Possible Action. Can we take a 5-minute break? Restroom break, please. Thank
OCR, then put them on the site. That is not the right way. I already went over that. You should have done it the right way. It needs to be done the right way.
I haven't
way.
Done anything.
Okay.
I'm following directions from
okay.
them.
Okay. We'll discuss it later. Okay. It's got to be done.
She's not there anymore.
I know. These are going on the website.
I thought. Don't we know?
Oh, wait. This one's.
Okay. Where do I sign the name thing? It's an agency secretary. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, there's still a little bit.
Okay.
When you were going through that path, you just must have missed out on we're going through them all.
Okay. All right.
I don't think so. You did, yeah?
Okay, I got a question.
Well, I thought you were actually going to get some of the answers.
I'm
No, it's 70. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
If that's true. Okay, so you guys ready?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. So the Wrightwood Village Trail Proposal, adoption, and WCSD Park and Recreation Department, discussion of possible action.
You're up, John.
My name is John Lanoux. I'm a member of the Wrightwood Village Trail Committee. In the packet before you, the board has a 5- to 6-page document, an agreement, which needs to be filled out and returned to Caltrans, LMA agreement. And in that, it's asking for a template signature page to be signed. It's asking for the insurance requirement, which we discussed last month, and it's in that packet also, that there is would be no cost if the CSD took over the maintenance of the trail. No cost in increased insurance, and to define the landscape. And in there, as Leo is looking through, there are a set of maps that gives the approximation of the trail. Caltrans has full-size sets of maps that could go into the document at a later time, but basically those are pretty much to scale. And I thank Al for putting those together for you. The CSD is a state organization, and the Caltrans is a state organization, and because of that, this agreement needs to be filled out and signed, because two state agencies coming together under this type of jurisdiction, we need to have an agreement signed. If you could possibly see your way clear not to amend it by, unless you're going to cross a T or dot an I, because any major amendments would require that the agreement go to Sacramento, and it could take up to 6 months to get that from Sacramento. If it is pretty much agreed to the way it is, it would only take approximately a month, and Caltrans locally could agree to it and move it on. So I would like to recommend that you consider signing the agreement pretty much the way it is. I know you haven't probably looked at every page of that and digested it, but if you could do that tonight, that would be great.
Well, I mean, there's just one thing. It says county, so we'd have to change that part of it.
Yes.
To WCS, you know,
right. Did the CSA 56 sign this when you guys did this in 2001 or
no.
When it started?
No.
Okay, so there was never a contract. It was just citizen volunteers of Wrightwood that were running it, but you had no agreement with Caltrans.
Correct.
But this just looks like it's a landscape. It's a landscape type. It's kind of just a landscape agreement, it looks like to me. You know,
yeah,
it's maintain and make sure water doesn't spray in the street.
Exactly.
Those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, you're, you know, CSD yeah. is not taking over any land. It's just a maintenance agreement.
Right.
We do have quite a few people here this evening that are in support of having the CSD take over the trail. I appreciate them coming here this evening. And
okay.
I think I will leave it at that unless you have any questions.
I think we will have some questions.
I just want to clarify on page 34. I believe this is simply a typo, but page 34, there's a little paragraph at the top, and maybe I'm reading it incorrectly, but I feel like in this first sentence, second line, that the word not should not be there.
John, this looks like a red line. Document. Who has the original document, or who has this red line?
The engineering department for Caltrans has.
So are they the ones? Are they the ones that modified this and put in these red lines?
I don't know about the red lines.
Okay. The comments that I see here, you don't know who put those in, or
no?
Okay.
That was put in, from what I understand, by David. So.
Yeah, that's the engineer for Caltrans that we've been...
Okay.
So, Al, is that correct that the word not is,
yes.
is should not be there? So if we approve it as is that
no,
correct?
No.
Thank you.
Is that not with a K or... A...
So, Al, is that somebody that we could redline it and send it back to?
Absolutely.
And, okay.
If you don't mind, I feel the urge... elaborate a bit.
Okay.
As we all know, this has been a subject that's come back several times. In some situations, there's been questions from the board that's been answered by the trail committee. There are things that come up during our discussions. I've had some discussions with the trail committee. And some of this information consolidated together from past presentations and the source. excuse me. To kind of give an overview, you have a trail committee that was established 7 years ago. Because Caltrans made some modifications to Highway 2, and they had $94,000 that they had to put back into the community. excuse me. And so, from what I understand, the committee put themselves together and approached Caltrans. Everything kind of worked out. So we have this trail that we have currently going on for the last 7 years. The committee has, for the most part, done a terrific job with the maintenance on but for the most part, also on their own, doing the maintenance.
No question. You
know, and there's been some volunteer groups, there's been some volunteer this, volunteer that. There's also a small amount of money that Lions Fund is holding for them that they've attained, I guess, through
how much is that?
$312.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not a whole lot. But also, we have here a list of the athletes of the trail
mm-hmm.
on this front page. And then we were, I was asked about, I believe it was just general discussion about what would be the cost. So based upon the information that the committee had forwarded to me, I put a generic, very generic budget together to kind of at least give an idea of what the cost would be, and that's what you see on page 26 of the top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
26.
From what I understand, the trail does not cross just Caltrans land. The design of the trail crosses over some private land, part of the previous property is one of those. There's
Is that in the is that in the public easement or no?
I don't know. What was the question, Wes?
Is that in the public easement?
The what?
Is the trail always in the public easement?
It doesn't seem that way looking at that.
There is, I mean, that highway has a really big public easement.
Yeah,
I've looked at it before.
There are several private driveways and business easements located along Highway 2, which may require the implementation of several prescriptive easements for these private crossings, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
That's problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Prescriptive easements, it's very nature not recordable, or not recorded instruments. So,
right.
Whether the easement even exists or not is one that would require going to court and having a quiet title action to determine whether or not that easement exists.
Right, right. Which, I mean, it could be done, but it's not that bad. But how was the trail put in the first place if there was no easement with the property owner? I don't understand how that even worked.
Well, let me try and get an example. Like Leo, he's got the Grizzly restaurant, and part of his driveway is over Caltrans property that he's paved over. And of course, along through the community, we see quite a bit of that. And it's just a matter of, you know, it still belongs to Caltrans, and they'd probably have to go to court and get it back if they decided to make it a four-lane highway through.
Well, I'm not talking about that. That's part of Caltrans specifically. There's that on the Clark property specifically.
Okay. I talked to him. I got his phone number. He has a copy of a document that was signed apparently by Caltrans that relinquishes his property. I think he sold for a dollar. It's just about 50 or 60 feet of the trail. And Caltrans apparently has that document. Clark will not take the time to find it for me.
Are we talking about service on site?
Yes. Across from the bakery, basically, yes. And there was yes, so that kind of question. And then I contacted the Snowline School District. They've given me a map showing the school boundaries, the Redwood Elementary School. It looks as though there was some contention there that maybe right at the beginning of the trail where the buses park, that was school property. But by the map that I have, it looks like that it is Caltrans property, just like Leo's driveway for his establishment.
That's the approach you're talking about.
Yes.
The approach into my restaurant.
Yeah, and everybody's the same. You know, Victor with his garage, and then
it's a private residence too. Yeah, it goes across
the main market.
Fire station.
Yeah, it just keeps going. Yeah.
Al, on the insurance. 6.0, it talks about the $1 million, which we have, and you said our insurance company will be. Is there anything to where it says per occurrence, but $2 million in aggregate and $5 million in excess? Is that part of our policy too, those additional amounts?
I believe so, yes.
We know that. Okay.
On this, John, on this first paragraph, I mean, do we know which ones are not, you know, do we know which properties specifically are not that we don't have an easement through there, that the trail just goes through there? This seems to be like a handshake deal with different property owners.
There never was, you know. As far as people walking through there?
I mean with the property that it crosses. It says here, there are several private driveways and business easement located along Highway 2, which may require implementation of several prescriptive easements for these private crossings and easements with the county of San Bernardino, side road crossings. It doesn't sound like Caltrans has control over some of these things, but we don't have a list of, hey, these properties here.
No. And to my knowledge, there's only one driveway, private driveway that crosses the trail, and that is down by Twin Lakes. Only properties that face and have an address on Highway 2 can legally have a driveway that goes in and out of Highway 2. There's only one that faces and has a Highway 2 address. Not outer Highway 2, but actual Highway 2. So there's only one private driveway. The rest of them are commercial.
Does Caltrans have a map that says this is what we control and the trail crosses here and here's what we don't control?
Yes.
They do?
Yes. And I have it with me. It's a multi-page.
That's not part of our package here.
No, because it's 18 by 24 inch individual page maps.
Okay, because I think Steve makes a good point. Like, we would need to understand which property it crosses that Caltrans doesn't control, and so we needed a separate agreement with that person, with that property.
Well, like I said, it's still all Caltrans property.
No, it says here it's not. That's what I'm. It says here some of it is not under their control. Right?
I hear you.
Okay.
I mean, a good example was Clark's, right? I know it's a
right.
But as the board, we need to have that piece of paper.
Yeah, we can ask David, the engineer, to research that.
Based upon what the council is suggesting.
Right.
David, the engineer, he seems to know a lot about this.
Yes. David Gilbert.
David Gilbert. Okay.
And then on 2.1, the county, which I assume now is the CSD.
Can't hear you on your mic.
I'm sorry. 2.0 on page 35, it talks about the county. Bless you. They install or contract authorizing licensed contractors with appropriate class of license in the state of California to install and thereafter maintain landscaping conforming to those plans and specifications, PS&E, pre-approved by the state. Do we have any kind of an idea what those standards are? I know you guys didn't have to go through it, but you're asking us to sign a contract.
Yes.
Where there's a lot of sections in here
the volunteers do the work.
Well, I don't think that says it in here. I think you can have the volunteers, but it has to be signed off on, it sounds like, by a licensee in landscaping for the state of California.
I think that's if we're changing landscaping, right? But I mean that could be flushed out in the agreement.
Because the trail, you know, does not interrupt any landscaping that's already existing.
Right.
No, I understand that. Right.
But, I mean, this...
That may apply to the licensed contractor.
I know there's a great deal of verbiage there, page after page.
Right. That's the worrisome.
Yes. Maybe I could recommend that the board should put together maybe a couple of new board members to be a committee to proceed with this. Ad hoc committee.
I think the board has certainly identified some hot spot issues on that. I think 2.3 also as well, where we would be submitting final form of the plans and specifications prepared, stamped, and signed by a licensed landscape architect to the state.
To the state and the
cost district. That's for landscaping, and we're not doing it. We're maintaining. The landscaping's done, right?
Yeah.
So would that really...
Yeah, apply? But it doesn't say that. It says as part of this agreement that you'll do this 2.3.
And it also talks about the...
You know, that's right. That's, it doesn't say if you make changes, then you will do X. It says you will do this when you sign this deal.
And
2.9.
When it says land, the term landscaping is in all caps.
Yeah.
And that term, so it's a defined term, and it's defined in the recital two, as this agreement addresses county responsibility for the blank and is collectively called landscaping. So that would, landscaping would include maintenance under,
right,
under this.
So then what we turned in could be about maintenance versus the original.
But would still need to be, would still need, oh, to, yeah, to be utilized.
I mean, what I like about this is it's a red line agreement that the guy may, you know, if we say, hey, it really says this, can't we modify, you know, can't we change it to, can't we clean this up a little bit? I mean, it seems like if we want to do this, that we should at least try to explore negotiating the agreement with them. I mean, it's not that complicated of an agreement that we can't go back and forth a few rounds with them. And if they get stuck on something, there's no way we could do it, but...
Apparently, they made the point that if there were any substantive changes,
Is that right?
I wish I could do that.
Like just go, well, if you change my agreement now.
Quite leverage.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I would love to, but it's my review.
Yeah. But like you said, if part of that's already redlined, why, if you could call David and have him, go over the part, items that you're thinking about that might be a conflict.
I don't know. I just like to feel him out and see how yeah, Ted said he is on it.
Yeah. I've asked to meet with him a couple of times, and he said that he could meet with us virtually any day. Mm-hmm. But we need to have from the board, what your concerns are so that we can take it to him. Or if you can...
Well, I got a
point. One of you or two
got
of
a bunch
you to call and come and talk to them.
When they talk about to prune the shrubs and tree plantings and trees and all that, we have the village trail, but Highway 2 in some areas is less than 3 feet from the trail. In some areas, it's it's longer. But is that trimming, pruning down to Highway 2, or just within a section of the trail, a foot on each side, or how much are we getting into the responsibility?
Yeah, I think that could. I think that could be defined.
Yes. Normally, we just cut stuff so people don't hang themselves up on a piece of brush as it.
Right.
But. And I think to also address Director Hordyke's question regarding volunteers, there is a prevailing wage provision in here.
Yes.
And so we would want to make sure that the work that that we would be providing, and if to the extent that there is any volunteer work that's being provided, that we're not...
Right, that we're exempt from that.
That's covered,
right,
under the DIR regulations, for which we would have to pay prevailing wage.
Right, right. Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't know. I think we need a meeting with this guy to see how dead set he is on this agreement.
And it should be, I think, pretty be more specific. On page 3, page 4, whatever we want to do is that and the other thing.
Well, I'd like to talk about the overall thing,
yes,
with them,
right,
and say, well, here's a couple of points. Can you bend on this,
right,
this, and this?
Right. Well, that's what I mean, try and have your questions ahead of time.
And then I also noticed on here that the committee recommends that a part-time person be assigned to oversee and be responsible for the chair, or for the trail. Is that another employee of the WCSD? Is it a volunteer type of situation, or have we even thought about that?
The budget, I think the budget includes that, right?
Yeah, there's 20 hours or 22 hours a month. As I looked at the budget that you submitted here.
It's 22 hours a month we'd have to spend on the trail?
That's the budget that I saw.
Oh, what page was that, Leo?
On page 26 at the top.
Fifteen hours a month.
And remember, this is based upon the information that I got from the trail. It's not like I
did a study
or something like that.
But I want to understand. I mean, the volunteers are taking care of this now. Why would we have to spend 15 hours? Why does the CSD have to spend 15 hours?
Two.
But why? If the volunteers are doing this now, why can't they continue doing that? Why does the CSD need to put in 15 hours?
Well, I think it was just a matter of a budget item in case something came up.
Well, as a budget together, there's been comments by the board in the past
that it may be very difficult to get volunteers.
Yeah, that's true.
That's been said
that's
several
true.
Times.
But the guy said
and
that.
So
yeah.
So to try to be practical, I put this together based upon the fact
okay.
that we
that's,
didn't have
that's
any volunteers
fair. Okay.
That we possibly would have this expense.
Okay.
Again, it's really very open.
Okay.
But Steve, to the prevailing wage issue, this maintenance on the trail, does that require a prevailing wage to do the maintenance? Because we can't have an employee that we're paying, let's say, $20 an hour, because that doesn't hit the prevailing wage.
No. If the work's done by an employee, then you wouldn't have to worry about prevailing wage. If it's one that that would be typically done by someone outside the district.
Contracted.
A contracted, independent contractor. Then if it is the type of service for which the Department of Industrial Relations has created a prevailing wage, then that would be problematic if we were to use volunteers. There could be a problem with that. That's one of the questions we'd have to find out through the
system. It could be really tricky dealing with the DIR and that, asking a question. You could call 20 times, get 20 different answers.
Yeah, typically what they have is they have a published document that has all the different types of various standard positions.
Yeah.
And
general labor is about $65 an hour.
And, of course, we have proposed years ago to put a bridge across some of the washes, you know, such as East Creek Washing. And there again, if you had contractors building that way, assuming that would be prevailing wage project.
Yeah, it's a public works project for sure, yeah. But I don't know that, yeah.
Well,
Wes, would you be willing to meet with the gentleman?
Yeah, I'd be willing to meet with the guy, yeah, and just see what could be done or not done.
Wes, I'd like to go with you with him.
Okay.
Set that up.
Okay. Okay.
Is this something that council needs to look at the contract first, or do you want to?
No, I think we got to. I think we got to find out because there's clearly stuff that needs to be changed.
Yeah, yeah.
So if he says, "Look, I'm not changing a thing,"
then there's no deal. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So we just got to find that out first. It's 15 minutes to find out.
Maybe not that it'll be no deal, but you know, okay, if we're going to make these major revisions, then it'll have to go to Sacramento.
That's true, but I mean, I think it would have very little chance of the agreement. But I guess we would try. Yeah.
If people want to.
That's true.
Steve, right now they have community volunteers, citizens that have put this thing together and have maintained it and are doing it, even though you got all this legalese going in as far as what they have to do. They don't have to abide by that, do they?
No.
Okay.
As a public agency, then...
No, as far as if we took it over, then we're liable for all of that stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, whatever's in the agreement.
Unless it gets changed through
that
negotiation.
That would require us to enter into this agreement.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Right. Okay, well, let's find out.
Okay.
I'll contact you later on this week, and we'll get something going on with David Gilbert. Okay.
Yeah. One last statement, and that is I mentioned earlier in the meeting about a mission and vision statement, and this is something that could come under your vision, along with the variances, and along with improving the jurisdiction of other entities that might be taken over, like we talked about the community gardens and the Music of the Pines, and all these, if that was something that was in your statement as a vision statement, not just specifically, but overall, it would have given the board something to say, hey, our vision statement doesn't really cover that. So that's, not what we're going to be working on. So
okay.
Thirdly, I would suggest, in fact, I'm going to ask Al to put it on the agenda. For the board to consider a mission and vision statement at the next meeting. Thank you.
All right, thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Hey, John.
John Aces.
You may want to take a real close look at 2.15.
What page?
36.
Thank you.
2.15 about maintaining, replacing, repairing, or removing from service. The way this is written, that would include trees.
Right.
So if you had dead trees along there, all of a sudden Caltrans is passed the responsibility for their Caltrans vegetation management program to the CSD.
Yeah.
Repointing.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, we've often had Camp Fenner just come and visit us, and they just come right in and get it done.
It's a money.
Lynn Crawford. On the yesterday's budget, I found a mathematical error, which is going to save you guys a lot of money. On page 26, it says weekly cleanup, $2 at $20, $15, so the monthly cost is $55. The annual cost of that is only $660, not $3,100. So I just saved you $2,500.
All right, checks in the mail. Thank you.
Liz caught it first. I can't take all the credit.
Okay, very good. Okay, so there's no action on that, and we'll report on this next meeting. Item 11, Children's Park No Smoking Ordinance, discussion of possible action.
Pass it. State law, isn't it? Steve? State law, no smoking in children's areas?
That's what it appears to be. The staff did the research on this. It looks like under Health and Safety Code Section 104495, that you've got state law that would prohibit it, except as identified subsection B and C.
Does this also include the state law?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what you see in front of you is what the County of San Bernardino has a good point. There's some state policies and federal policies, and actually, this is something that was found and by Jessica.
Does this include, I know it says the tobacco product or whatever, does this include, what do they call it, vape or? E-cigarette?
It does,
those
yeah.
Type of
I see it here.
There?
Mm-hmm.
There's some mention of that in here.
It's right there.
So, anyway, what I was kind of leading up to is that this is what the county has. And when the board on July 1st of last year, when we adopted all of the policies and stuff of the county, I was considering one of them. Okay, so as an answer to the question that was asked at the last board meeting.
So the ordinance is already, what you're saying is the county ordinance is already there. It's already in place with the CSD since we adopted all the county ordinances
correct.
As a default.
Correct, except if you take a look at the county ordinance, what the county has done is it doesn't specifically reference the park area. And what it says about the park area is in unenclosed places is section 31-0305, and it looks like what they did was they did not elect to tread on any area that's occupied by state law. So what they've done is that smoking shall be prohibited in the following areas within the unincorporated area of the county, except in such places in which smoking is already prohibited by state or federal law. And then they list areas that don't include parks. My guess is what the county did is that they felt it's already covered under state law. So there is the county ordinance actually doesn't apply to the park area. What it covers is the state law.
But the state law would.
State law does.
For us.
So you've got the health and safety code section.
Mm-hmm.
That applies.
Okay,
so that's what you're covering. Not so much by the county.
Oh. So, I mean, so do we really need my question is, we don't need an ordinance if the state covers it.
right? If the state, like, why do you need an ordinance if the state's already got it covered, much as the county decided?
The reason you would have an ordinance is if the district wanted to enforce it.
Yeah.
So typically what you'll have is you'll have, like, park ordinances, and that's a way for the district to enforce its own regulations. Mm-hmm. And so you
like a fine or
you'd have right. So you would have an enforcement mechanism built into the ordinance to allow for the district to enforce it. Here you've got the state law that's already covered it. To the extent that there's
says
a violation,
it says it's illegal, but then it's up to us to decide through an ordinance mechanism how do we want to enforce it.
And so Sergeant McCarty left, but that would be someone that you would call and say there's someone that's smoking or whatever. That,
right.
That, and the DA's office would prosecute that as a possible infraction.
Under the state.
They would?
Well, I'd like to see us put some signage around it, because I don't believe that the general public necessarily is in touch with the state or county or any of it with what's the law and what's not, and my guess is it's probably...
But if we put up a sign and it, and we can't enforce it, what... Do you think the sign would stop somebody? It's just it's a sign.
I believe it is, first of all, a way to educate the public. Because without signage, there's a lot of people that flat out don't know. And my guess is that, I don't know what percentage, but a decent percentage.
There's people telling them, right?
But a decent percentage is probably young people. And, I mean, I don't know if it's appropriate to put anything on the sign about call your local sheriff if you see somebody breaking this law. But if... The sheriff, I mean, if it's as simple as being able to call the sheriff and say somebody's in the park smoking and that's illegal, and they respond, then we don't have to have a way to...
Well, if the state law is insufficient for your purposes, for instance, if you wanted to create something more stringent than what is under state law, then that's when you would want to adopt an ordinance and then enforce it yourself.
How do you enforce it yourself, though?
Well, yeah, I've handled cases like handling code enforcement type cases where, you know, the DA's office doesn't get involved in that, but cities and counties that have land use powers and zoning ordinances and building regulations, they enforce it through their adoption of an ordinance. The board has, you have the ability to adopt ordinances, and you have the ability to enforce them through fines and penalties.
You could do some sort of civil...
Kind of like the
illegal
dumping.
Correct. That's a very good example.
But it seems like we could start with signs, and then if this issue was brought back to the board, like, hey, thanks for posting the signs, but this isn't working, guys, then we could look at further action in stating an ordinance or something. But at the moment, signage, I believe, would be an enormous first step.
I don't.
I do. I agree with you myself.
Natalie, do you use the park?
I do, on a frequent basis.
And my experience is coming from having used the park, and the couple times when I had this experience, what I was countered with was...
There's no sign.
Doesn't say it anywhere. And you can't pull out the state code, the penal code. I mean, you can't... Anyway.
And that was
the sign is real easy to...
And if we did the sign, Steve, would we need the ordinance, you know, in small print, you know, underneath... For no smoking, for
state. No, I actually wouldn't use the ordinance. I would use the
state.
No, I meant state.
The state code, right?
State code.
Yeah. I'd use the health and safety code section.
Right. That's underneath. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
I'd go.
California
law
says no smoking in public parks, or I don't know, something that makes us also aware that it's not just us. Well, if the cops drive by, they can get you.
I'm sure there's generic ones already out that people are already using. Just use
we've got them in here in our package.
Yeah. There's a very broad array of generic signs. So I just threw a couple of them on here.
But there's no vaping either, right? So if they're vaping at the skate park, same thing.
Right.
I think no tobacco products would be great. No smoking and no tobacco products.
I think it says that, yeah.
Chewing tobacco, it covers vaping, it covers...
But let me ask you this. Are you talking about all the parks? Are you talking about just children's section? What sections are you talking about?
All.
And the
lot?
Oh, yeah.
Because most of the state law deals with the children's sections of parks.
Okay.
That's correct.
Also.
So we'd have to write an ordinance for that.
I'm talking about the park.
Yeah.
That's right there with the playground equipment. Honestly, okay. Veterans Park is not in my head right now. I'm talking about where the kids play, and you've got somebody pushing their kid on a swing, and somebody else is standing there. I mean,
but I think
they're going to do all sorts of
the skate park would apply as well because
there are kids there too.
Lots of kids there.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're right.
Double.
So there's two.
But I also referred all of ours. And there isn't a day that doesn't go by that I don't see a number of elderly or veterans or whatever, whomever. Using either the Veterans Park or the one behind the restroom, the Rivian Hall. And if you're going to do it all, it's up to you guys. If you want to do just one section, what do you do with the other section? Do you put up a smoking area sign? Do we put some sort of ashtrays? Because we do have cigarette butts, and that's pretty much about it. On the ground, you know, people won't have to place their phones, so they just drop them.
What's the state code?
25 feet from playground.
So to me, that covers the skate park and the children's park.
How does that cover the skate park?
And this park, because this park borders a preschool.
How does that cover the skate park?
It's
25 feet from the
playground.
Yeah, right.
It's not, though.
On the other side of the bathroom.
Because I believe that's because you're considering a playground in the traditional sense of the word.
I think it's defined here, yeah.
Playground means any park or recreational area specifically designed to be used by children that has play equipment installed or any similar facility located on public or private school grounds or on city, county, or state park grounds.
So the skate park has equipment.
It's kind of on the edge.
For kids to, it's clearly a kid's place to hang out.
Yes, and this park as well, Vivian Knoll Park, because it borders a preschool that has playground equipment right next to it. Backyard.
Yeah, that's within the 25.
That is that. Then that Al is going to put snowboard on.
So if you're happy with the state law, which is 25 feet from a playground, then we can just put signage up and you'd be fine. If you want to make it more restrictive than that, you would need to adopt your own ordinance.
I would like to just do the signage.
I would like to do the signage.
On all the
parks. Do it around that whole part.
Including the veterans?
No.
I don't want to do it on Veterans Park. No. I don't feel comfortable telling that for a park.
Good.
Anyway, I'm not comfortable with that one. But that whole property that borders the school.
That's different.
Where there are kids and all sorts of stuff on the other side of that fence, I'd like to see that whole from the skate park down to the highway.
And the Vivian Knoll Park, because it's next to the preschool.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Monica, did you still have to...
You have a comment, Monica?
I was going to jump in here.
Didn't cover it. So,
okay.
She's getting ready for it.
Well, how many signs? I think we gotta determine that, right? So
I believe there's three sections of that children's park. I believe there needs to be one near the picnic tables, and there needs to be one in the young children's area that's fenced off, because that kind of covers both ends. But Natalie or somebody has spent a lot of time in the park. I haven't spent as much time in the past 6-7 years. But what would you see in terms of location?
Yeah, I would say maybe three, like you described, the little section and then near the swings and then on the upper section.
Okay.
What about Vivian Knoll?
I don't spend that much time there, but maybe one.
But you've got to have a sign.
Yeah, if you've got one, if you could attach it to the posts that are there.
I would think maybe Al and Michelle could walk through and see where you saw it then. Use your discretion at where you think.
How much are these signs? I mean, they can't be much, right?
They run right around $25 to $50.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it needs to have the health and safety code cited on it, right?
The state. So
that's where it's going.
Yeah. Okay.
Lynn Crawford. I was just looking mandatory no smoking signs for California.
Tobacco use is prohibited, no smoking, no vaping, and then it gives the code down below. And that's just a generic sign that you can buy.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Len.
Do we need a motion around this?
Yeah.
I would like to move that we post 4 total signs.
Minimum 4.
I think because we said 1 at Vivian Knoll.
Yeah.
And then 1 at the skate park and 2 at the playground area.
I put 2 at the skate park, 1 on each case.
Okay, so I'm going to amend what I was saying.
I would put probably 2 in the middle. No?
Yeah.
Because you have people walk down the trail.
6.
I'm going to impose 6.
Yeah.
Signs he posted stating no smoking according to state law, similar to what Lynn just said.
I second.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The motion carries. All right.
October.
Okay, director's comments. Any comments?
I have comments. I just wanted to speak to the softball league. We're starting fall ball. The first game will be September 16th. We had 18 teams register this season compared to the 12 before, so we were very surprised by that. We increased the league fee by $25 to cover per team, $25 per team to cover some costs that we saw, particularly that we will have to use 2 fields now. We can't fit that amount of games on the lower field with the amount of daylight we have on Sundays. So we're going to be splitting the league between 2 fields, and so we have to buy additional bases and some fencing. The fencing, we've had half of it donated by the Little League, not donated completely, but they had offered to share it with us. And I may not have explained, but last season they also donated bases to us, so we've had a lot of help from them. So basically from league fee we have about $6,700 in revenue just to start, and then you know, we break it down, and after everything we've spent so far we have $4,430 left over, and we would like to buy bases for $350 and fencing for $200 to $300. So I don't know if that's something that we need to.
Is that what I don't recall.
I think what's your limit? Isn't it $300?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I think Al could probably take care of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that would have us left over if we spent that amount. We'd be about $3,780 just in profit.
Oh, that's great.
Nice work,
yeah.
Dave.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Okay, that's a great community project. Thank you, Melanie.
Yeah. Thank you, Monica.
Yeah.
So do we have to get official approval for Allison.
The bases were how much?
They're about $350, and then for a set,
that is
or
a little
for
bit over.
The each, or for a whole set.
Might be able to
and then the fencing, I mean, high-end fencing was like $1,200, but we found Walmart fencing for $200. And so we will just kind of put it together and make it work.
All right, Walmart.
And the fencing, for an explanation for that, the fencing is required on the upper field because it is such a large field and there's no barrier to enforce the game rules. So we need that.
Well, yeah. To fit within Al's spending authority, my office will pay for the difference if it's over $300.
Oh, very nice. Go for the fence. Go for the fence.
Hear that.
Go for that better fence. Yeah, $1,200.
That's a very nice offer. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. You guys haven't seen it. It's amazing to watch, especially the championship.
Oh, that was so great.
It was. I mean, the grandstands were full, and the back field where the scoreboard was, that was filled up. It was amazing to watch.
The next year, they're going to have to buy bleachers.
Hopefully not. And I guess we should give Monica a special round of applause because her team actually came out number one.
Yeah.
That's true.
But she's on the disabled list.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I have no comments.
I hope
no
you
comments.
Can come.
Any comments, you guys?
Yeah,
they have posts. So you can just kind of hammer them into the field, and then you can remove them, roll it up, and put it away. And so the Little League already has a store of some fencing that they use, and they offered us half. But the amount they have only covers half the field. We want to cover the entire.
Where will you store that?
It's currently being stored at the elementary school in the bins up there.
In the back office, bro.
I use that as a hammock.
Little League has been really helpful, and they have bins, and the PTG has also given me a key to their bins so that we can cover things that we need to, you know, sparingly. But, yeah, so we've been really lucky with all the help in the community. It probably helps that, like, 300 members of the community are playing.
All the parents. Wow.
And
do
you want to know about percentages of residents? Well, that
is it all Redwood? Do we have any? Do we have people coming
There's
up from Tri-T?
Yeah. From Thielen. I think like two Thielen teams, but basically the teams are going to be anywhere from 15 to 20 players per team.
Yeah, 350 people. It's amazing. And that's just players. Then they got their family.
Their fans.
Yeah, it's really neat.
You have a NASCAR running for this?
It's the Little League open source snack bar. We have some kids in the Little League profits from the snack bar.
That's a great agreement.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry to speak on staff time too. This season will run a little bit better for Allen's staff because our games are going to be running from about 10:30 to 4:00 since we have a month. We'll still going to be running at the same time, so it won't require a CSD staff member to come back late in the afternoon and lock the bathrooms.
That's pretty
and
awesome.
Won't require any extra time in the morning to go set up the field.
No, that's terrific.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, future board meetings and agenda items.
I got four things.
Uh-oh.
Let's start with the vision statement / mission statement.
Are we supposed to show up with our vision statement and then discuss it, or what?
Well, it's got to be on the agenda so that we're either creating an event or we're assigning it to a subcommittee, but it's got to be on the agenda for us to get anywhere on it, right?
Right.
And then the variance form, making sure that's back on there. And I would like to see, when we discuss the variance form, I'd like to see a little bit of a discussion. I've written down a few questions that kind of outline, we talked about tonight, starting with the question of, is this within our jurisdiction, our purview? I've got a few other ideas so that we have a series of questions that we ask that help lead us through that discussion to make those assessments a little easier. And then the report on the village trail from Wes's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be just a few days before, but I'd like to see the ice cream social, that discussion, on the agenda. I think we missed a great opportunity to sponsor something and get our name out there. And it'll be too late because the advertisement will be done, et cetera. But I'd like to see a discussion about it for potential maybe
future
coordination in the future. I'd like to see it addressed on the agenda.
Do you want to see it as a variance, or do you want to see it as something else? Because the reason why I ask is because it was written on a variance form with the application.
How else would it be? I'm not sure.
Sponsorship.
So I guess if the variance form is not the way to approach sponsorships then, so I'm not sure how we would go about.
Well, we've done some sponsorships with the chamber on Down Air Days, that type of thing.
Yoga studio?
Without having to go through the variance process.
I don't really have a strong feeling about that. Maybe anybody else? I don't have a real vision around that now. I just want to make sure that it's discussed and that we...
I see those as two separate issues, sponsorship and variance.
And variance.
Yeah.
Well, we'll make sure, I think staff will make sure that it's agendized so that all those
that it encompasses the way it's agendized and described in the agenda will encompass all of that.
And so we don't miss it in the future. Is there any other agenda items we've missed?
If I can ask a question, Randy, if I remember right, in the form, that the variance form, you talk about it being a co-sponsored event.
That's correct.
So, okay.
And it was going to be for waiving the $110 fees, but it was, we would put some publicity and invite you guys to come and attend and a lot of stuff. But,
okay.
You know.
So if you want to give me some direction that I could pursue that and discuss this with Randy.
Well, in terms of sponsorship, it's kind of irrelevant for this year. We didn't get it on the agenda. I mean, we voted to not have it on the agenda tonight, and so it's kind of a moot point for sponsorship this year because that the benefit to the CFC is the publicity. That publicity will be done by them, and
that's trouble. So everything's kind of in the can already.
Yeah, newsletter is already going out.
Absolutely.
So I was going to be up late tonight. This was on the agenda.
Okay, are we good for October 2nd? Is that first Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody okay with that?
Thanks for putting that on the agenda.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle, one thing that should be handled is the mechanics prohibited even discussing this is where maybe we should try and publish a draft agenda 5 days or 5 business days, something like that. That discussion should be had.
Does that need to be on the agenda, Steve?
I think it's
a process. If I can make a comment, okay, and Randy, you hit a very good point. Okay, historically, this is left up to me to put everything together, and a lot of times I get things about minutes, but this particular month, that didn't happen. Okay, I still was able to get a lot of stuff put together for this board meeting. And then there was a modification by the Village Trail from a meeting that happened after the fact. One of my goals is to have Jessica take over the duties of putting the agenda together, and she can do that earlier. And there's no reason why the 72 hours is the last.
Right.
We can always do it earlier. In most situations, we put it out a week ahead of time. You know, 5 days, 6, 7 days ahead of time. It's also put on to the website. We should have that website up and running here really soon. That's where I'm coming from, is that I recognize that there's situations. I've also got a different configuration of a staff. Not that I'm being solely reliant upon that, because that can change. But I'm looking at trying to make things better.
Well, I have a question about that, Steve. So how does that work? Let's say Al puts out the agenda, right? And he says, here's the agenda. Okay. Somebody responds to the mailing list, hey, you forgot that, you know, I want to talk about my street or, you know, whatever it is that they want to talk about. Who can say yay or nay to that? Is that strictly up to Al? Is that... How does that agenda get formed? Like, let's say it is something like that, and we don't really want. I mean, the agenda could be 45 items long.
Yeah, typically, it wouldn't be a member of the public would have the ability to say, "Hey, I want this on there," and that automatically gets on the agenda.
Right.
It would have to get vetted either through the general manager or the general manager through the board president.
Yeah.
And so that's how items would get on the agenda.
It would circulate through Al, and then maybe we would discuss it and say, yeah, let's put this on the agenda, or no, let's do this. No, let's not
and
do
so
that.
And so for the other board members, now is kind of the time to raise that publicly. If during the course of the rest of the month the director has something that they want to put on the agenda, typically they go to Al, and if Al's fine with it, fine. If they want to go to the board president, that's something that can happen as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
typically a member of the public doesn't have sort of a unilateral ability to get an item on the agenda.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But the way to do it is to email Al, say, hey, I thought we were going to have this on the agenda.
Yeah, let's get it on the agenda.
And if Al says, oh, yeah, it's ready, it's ready for presentation, because typically it's staff the one presenting. And so if staff isn't ready to present on that.
Yeah, there could be a lot of backup material that's required. And,
right.
And even at 5 days. So if we get it out there, 5 days, hey, I'd like to add this on the agenda, it may not happen because, you've only got a couple of days to get the background material and do all that and then amend it and turn it in again at the 3-day deadline.
One of the things that you may want to consider is the board may recall that one of the first actions you took was to adopt your own sunshine ordinance, which was the an expression of the board's compliance with the Brown Act,
mm-hmm.
as well as where your agendas are going to be posted and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If the board wants to review that, I think there is language in there about periodic review. If the board wants to review that ordinance now, that may be an opportunity for the board to then dictate how many days in advance the agenda should be posted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that would get hardwired into a policy, would be through your sunshine ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get that on the agenda for next time then? It would be nice to have. I would like a policy around that.
Sure, we could do a review of your sunshine ordinance. Have that on the agenda.
Okay.
And we don't need that on the agenda. Other than the financials was going to be a separate line, not under consent.
That's right. That's right. Okay, if there's nothing else, the meeting's adjourned.